Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that my heart be right in your sight, that our hearts be right in your sight, that we can receive from your word of truth this day. We take that deep breath right now, and we just thank you that you put that breath in our lungs and that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you all here. Thank you for braving the rain and the flooding and all those different things that are happening. But I believe that you're here for a reason. I believe that God wants to touch each and every one of you in a unique and special way. And so I want to begin with this question. How many people here want to be happy? Anybody? I hope a few of you. All right, well, the rest of you didn't put up your hand. We need to have a chat after because you want to be happy. But here's the thing, you actually want to have joy in your heart because joy can then become happiness, right? But we'll talk a little bit more about that. Here's the thing, though. I believe that our source of happiness and joy comes from the Word of God. And obviously the presence of God, but the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation. And so it's a ritual, call it what you want, a religious ritual. I read the Word of God every single morning. And it varies from, 5 minutes to 20 minutes. It depends on how much I read. But I do that every morning. Now, let me tell you why I do that. I have a busy life. Anyone else here have a busy life? All right. So here's the thing, for some of us, and I used to do this, I would read at night. But you know what I found out is that half the time I was giving God what I had left over, and that usually wasn't very much. In other words, I'm tired. I've got all the things of the day in my head all circling around. The list goes on, all the stuff that needs to be done. By the time I'm ready for bed, I'm ready to hit the pillow and go off. So I can't encourage you enough. I know you might say, I'm not a morning person. Any not a morning persons here? Okay, we got a few. Okay, I give you permission that before you read, you can get your coffee first, okay? So you can get your eyes pried open and begin to get kind of settled. But here's the thing, put God's word first. Give him the best of your time. Right in the morning, with your coffee or tea or orange juice, whatever thing you do, to take the time to consume God's word. It is life-changing. It will help you through your day. It will bless you in your life. It will bring happiness to your soul. Amen? So I just encourage you with that. And in my reading, I bring this up because in my reading this morning, Psalms 40 was part of my reading. And in that, in verse 1 and 2, it says this, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me, and he lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry muck, and he set my feet upon the rock to stay, and he established my footsteps before me. And then the very next line says this, and he put a song in my mouth. Now, here's the thing. How many people want the song in your mouth? We all want that, right? But here's the thing. There's a process involved, right? First of all, it begins by crying out to the Lord, to say, Lord, I need you. Please help me, right? And then you're in the pit, right? So if you're in the pit, what do you have to do? You got to respond because the Lord shows up and he says, oh, you're in a pit. So he reaches down. What do? Do you do this? No, you're going to reach back up to him, right? And so you reach up to him and he reaches down and he lifts you up. And then he pulls you out of that muck that's trying to hold you down. And he sets your feet upon the rock to stay. And then here's the next line. He establishes your footsteps before you. Do you know what that means? Not only does he rescue you, he's got a plan for your life. And then only after that do you have the song in your mouth. So we all want the song, right? How many people want the song? But there's a process involved. Crying out to God for help, letting him rescue you, letting him get you on a path, his path with him, and then out of that relationship, joy comes out, song in your mouth. It's an awesome experience. So if you've never cried out to the Lord, maybe you should. And I don't care where you are. Things may be going quite well for you right now. It's important to call out to God because here's what the word says, Jeremiah 33:3. If you call out to him, you know what the promise is? He will answer you. I wonder whether at times we don't hear from God because we're not really crying out to him. We may offer kind of a pat-off prayer, oh God, help me with this. And then we kind of go on to try to fix it ourselves. Rather than really crying out. The word crying out, that literally means to be in his presence, say, Lord, I need to hear from you or else I don't know what to do. There is no plan B. And that needs to be our heart towards the Lord. Amen? And so we've been talking about soul care. That's what this series has been about. And so I used to use this Venn diagram. In fact, I've used it a number of times over the last almost 30 years. So let's put up my old Venn diagram. This is what I used to use, talking about the fact that we're made up of three parts, right? We have a body, a mind, a spirit. The mind could be soul instead. So that's the same, okay? That mind part is our emotions, our will, our thoughts, our feelings, those kinds of things. Our body is our physical tent that we're in. The spirit part is the part of God. And so I would teach and use this Venn diagram as an example. And it's nothing, quote, wrong with this. But if you look at it this way, it gives you the idea that you're only like one-third spirit, right? One-third body, one-third mind. And it's almost like the spirit part is like an addendum, something you add on. I want to tell you right now that I think there's a better way to look at this. And as I prayed about it, the Lord gave me a different picture. So let me show you this, because this is a good setting for us. It all begins in the core of your being. You see, before you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there was no light on the inside. It was black as black can be. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. That's what the scripture says. But when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what happened? Poof! Life and light began in the core of your being. I'd say down in your heart somewhere. And it's just like a little sun on the inside, right? Jesus is just there illuminating that darkness on the inside. But here's the thing. Your body is the part that connects with this world, right? It's the outside part. But between your spirit and your body is what? Your soul or your mind, right? Your emotions, your thoughts, your will. And that even divides up into two categories of consciousness and subconscious. In other words, your mind is doing things you're unaware of at a certain level. And then you're conscious in some other parts where you're making conscious decisions to do different things. So as I look at this, this is actually a better portrayal of a human being that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so what we've been focused on is soul care, that part between the spirit and the body, that part that is between, in a sense, the kingdom of God and this world, because the body interacts with this world, and the soul actually is the intermediary between the spirit and the body. And so this is really, really important. If you've never really thought about this, here's what happens. The world often wants to focus on the body, thinking, fix the outside, and then your soul will feel better, and then your spirit will feel better. It doesn't work that way. You begin with the spirit, which is the presence of God, which is perfect. And as it affects the soul, then your body is affected as well. There's a scripture that even talks about this. The Apostle John was writing to Gaius. He's a guy that was an elder in a church, and we don't know where this church was, but it's in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And this the Apostle John is writing to Gaius, and he says this, "Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health, physically, just as your soul prospers spiritually." So just look at this for a minute. So here's John, and he makes this statement. He says, look, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper. That literally is actually one word in the original Greek. And what it means is to have a successful journey on the road of life. How many people want to have that, right? We want that. And so he actually goes on to kind of explain how that happens. And he says, and be in good health physically, just as your soul prospers. And so as you look at this, the good health part is the physical part, the tent that we're in. And so here's John saying, I want you to have physical health, but it happens as a result of the health of your soul. So this is kind of backwards, in the way we would write this. But basically, John is saying, as your soul goes, so does the rest of your life. And so we need to focus on our soul being changed, not the outside part. The tent that we have is temporary. Even Peter says it's a temporary dwelling. We receive a permanent one when we get to heaven. But your soul, you take with you. So how many people want their soul fixed so that when the Lord returns or we go to Him, that He doesn't have to really fix it when we cross over into glory? Because here's the reality of it. Whatever is still broken is fixed when you cross from this life to the next. And I remember saying to the Lord, if that's true, why do I bother? Because think about that, right? Why don't I just keep doing what I'm doing? If you're going to fix it all when I cross over, what's the difference? And so he said this word to me. And 20 years ago, he said this to me. He said, "Son, but do you want to recognize who you are when you do cross over?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. I want that change to happen now so that when I cross over, there might be some minor things to do, but I know who I recognize who I am. There's not so much of me that I have to leave behind because it's been unredeemed and unfixed, right? I want to deal with it now so I'm a completed being, being fit for what? The master's service while I'm here. And I'm sure every one of you feels that way as well. How many people want to be used by God? We want to be used by God. But here's the thing. The part of our soul that we haven't given to Jesus, God can't use that part. He can only use the part that's been redeemed, that part that's been surrendered to him. And so I have a question for you this morning. I only have one topic. Normally I have like two or three points, right? I got one point this morning. They're going to put it up as a question. And here it is. Have you been a victim of toxic poisoning? Now, I feel like I want to go into an infomercial. If you feel that you've been a victim of toxic poisoning, if you call this number, 1-845-218-1111, you could be eligible for compensation. Please call. There are lawyers standing by to hear from you. Now, doesn't that sound like something you'd hear in an infomercial a few years ago? We're not going in that direction. But I want to tell you something, that if you've been a victim of toxic poisoning, it could be impacting your life right now. So let's talk about this for a few minutes. What is, first of all, toxic poisoning? Okay, I'm going to give you the spiritual definition, and then we're going to back up into some natural things as well. I believe that toxic poisoning is anything that affects our thinking towards God, towards others, or towards ourselves. So let me just say that again. This is a big deal. This is something to write down and think about. This is a big deal. Toxic poisoning, spiritually speaking, is anything that affects your thinking towards God, towards others, or towards yourself. And we see this already in the Garden of Eden at the very, very beginning, right? You've got God makes Adam and Eve, everybody's in harmony, everything's going great. And then what happens, right? Satan comes along and he says to Eve, and Adam was there, by the way, you know, it says, did God really say? So there's the poison right there. Questioning really the authority of who God is, right? To screw up the thinking of Adam and Eve, right? And right away, there's a toxicity that began to creep into their life to such a point that it separated them from God. And so there it is in the very, very beginning. Just one person, you know, that the devil coming in and affecting and messing up their lives. Well, I got news for you. We still live in a messed up world. Anyone, right? We're still in a world that's so messed up. And we've got all kinds of voices, all kinds of influences. In other words, this poison is everywhere around us. The question is how much has it affected you? And I dare say there's not a person here that hasn't been affected by spiritual toxic poisoning. But let's talk about the natural side for a minute. You know, what is it to have toxic poisoning? Well, it means that you've got too much of something in your life. It could be something like even salt, something that's not even a poison unless you have too much of it. Iron, magnesium, you know, the other trace elements that it's okay to have a little bit of it, but what happens when you get too much? All of a sudden, you deal with organ failure, right? Kidney and liver can affect you at the cellular level. Some things even can affect you, give you cancer even. For example, insecticides and pesticides, you know, that can become toxic in your life when it's too much and affect your natural cells' growth. So all of that happens. So that's the natural side. So let's talk about the spiritual side of toxic poisoning. It could be almost anything that's affected you. Something in your life has affected you in such a way that it's stunting your ability to grow. It could have been you were bullied at school. Yep, could have been that. There could have been all kinds of different things that have happened in your life that would affect you to this point. So the best thing I can do is to give you an illustration from my own life. Now, I grew up a pretty happy kid. I had good parents, good family. I lived on a farm. I had like a 200-acre playground. You get what I'm saying? I had a good life. But let me tell you something. I had something happen to me, as little as it was, impacted me years later. So I'm here to say, if this little thing had this much of an effect on me, I have no idea what a tragic event could affect someone. So let me just tell you my story to maybe help you to be able to move forward in your story. You see, because here's the thing. Toxic poisoning will hold your growth back. It will stunt you from being able to move forward in God. Okay, so we go back to the early 70s. I know for some of you, you weren't even born yet, all right? For some of you, you're like, hey, I was an old guy still then. That's all right. I was young then, all right? I would be about 8 years old. I was born in 1965, so this is probably 73, 74 in there somewhere. So we're talking like 50 plus years ago, like a long time. Can I tell you that the world is different than it was now? Anyway, my mom one day came to me and she said, look it, you know, you should take swimming lessons. And I'm like, why, Mom? And her answer was very simple. She said, 2/3 of the earth is covered with water, and you need to know how to swim if you fall into the water. And my mom did that because she couldn't swim, and she was afraid of water. I give her credit for wanting to overcome in her toxic area of life to want to help me not to have that problem. So great, right? All sounds good. So she takes me to swimming lessons, and there, and you know, at the little town we were in, they had a local swimming pool. They had teachers and everything. So I'm fine, you know, going to the classes and everything. And so here's what happens, though. You know, week one, week two, week three, all great, right? We get into week three and four and five and six, and all of a sudden, my mom starts showing up like later and later and later to pick me up. To one point, she picks me up. It's like the place had closed. I'm sitting on a little grass hill. It's getting dark. I got my little towel wrapped around me because I'm shivering. And she finally shows up to get me, right? And as if it was like no big deal. And again, my mom had a lot of stuff going on. You know, being a farmer's wife, she's dealing with 500 other things. But I guess I just wasn't important that day. You get what I'm saying? I was forgotten. Now, here's the thing. That happened a couple other times for baseball and different other events. So I never gave it much thought, right? I'm 8 years old. You know, life goes on. I get married. I have a family. Life's moving on. I come to know the Lord. And so I'm praying one day to the Lord. In fact, it was right here in this building. I was praying. You know, this is probably 20, 25 years ago. And I was worried about something. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I just don't know whether you're gonna pull through on this. I don't know whether you're going to show up. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, you're comparing me to your mother. And all of a sudden, I realized I had a trust issue. Because the person I loved and respected and who I knew loved me, all right, that's my mom, back here, she still didn't show up on time. And so I move forward some 25, 30 years, and an event comes up in my life, and I'm not trusting God. And he says, look, it's because of that back there. Can I tell you something? That your past can affect your future. Let me give you an example, a natural example. Right here in Hyde Park, back in the early 80s, there was more gas stations than there is now. And they had in the ground steel tanks, all right? That's what they used back then. Now they switched to plastic. But back then, there were steel tanks. And there was an additive they put in the gasoline at that time from 1970-ish to 2005. It's banned now. It's called MTBE. Has anyone ever heard of it? It's a big, long chemical name, all right? Anyways, it's known now as a forever chemical. Do you know what that means? It doesn't break down. It just stays the way it is forever. All right, so they added this to the gas to make the gas burn better, to have less emissions for cars. And then they realized it was a forever chemical, so they banned it in 2005. So great, that means that from that point on, that was not in the gasoline any longer, all right, in Hyde Park, in fact, in all of the U.S. Okay, so move forward now about 15 years or so into the later 2000s, in fact, well after 2005, all of a sudden people started getting sick in Hyde Park. And so they did some tests, and guess what they found in the well water? MTBEs. So these people were being poisoned. Now, here's the thing. The gas stations that had this added in their fuel, here's what happened. In those steel tanks, guess what happened in the ground as those tanks got older and older? They leaked. And so that gasoline with that MTBEs leaked into the soil, got into the aquifer, which is into the place where the water is, the water table. Now, meanwhile, those gas stations have all closed. Meanwhile, those tanks were all taken out of the ground. They're gone, completely gone. But that poison has seeped into the groundwater and some 15, 20 years later begins to go into the wells of different areas of Hyde Park. And those people now are suffering from toxic poisoning as a result of something that happened some 20 years before. See, that's a natural example for me to tell you the same thing happens in the spirit. In my case, I've got that deal where I got trust issues way back here with my mom, right? And then, you know, my mom, meanwhile, we worked that through. In other words, I trust her, and all that happened, right? And so then, 30 years later, though, It's still in the unconscious part of my soul, and then it seeps to the surface. So here's my question to you today. Are you a victim of toxic poisoning? Now listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's a person within the sound of my voice here or watching online that should answer no. All of us at some level have been impacted by something that happened in the past. My thing is pretty minor, right? Just my mom not showing up. She did show up. I wasn't totally abandoned, right? She did get me. What about people who've dealt with verbal abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse? Abandonment completely, where a parent or both parents completely left and just left the child, left you. You know, the list goes on and on of far worse things than I dealt with. And here's the deal. My little thing had such an impact on me, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, Jesus, how could that little thing back there, just with my mom showing up late, how could that impact me now? He says, you wouldn't believe the things that happen to people. And maybe I'm here, that was allowed to happen in my life, so I could be here to say, look it, God wants to help you. Now, I know there's some people saying that, well, look it, why didn't God help back there? Why didn't God get my mom to come on time? Well, maybe God did tap her on the shoulder and say, hey, don't forget Carl, he's shivering in the cold, it's getting dark. But she blew him off, blew the Holy Spirit off. I don't know. Here's the thing. We could spend a lot of time about the coulda, woulda, shouldas back there, but that's done. Same in your life. It happened. So let's not spend too much time about that. Let's talk about the free will you and I have now to receive healing. In other words, you can't change the past, right? But we can make a decision today that will affect our future in a positive way. So, what's secure? I want to touch on just one part of that today. You know, we need more time to go deeper into other things. But today, I want to give you the beginning of the cure to the toxic poison that's in your life and in mine. All right? It's found in a scripture, Psalms 23. David gives us the cure. Psalms 23, verses 1 to the first part of 3. And it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." So I want you to see a couple of things here. First of all, David says something at the start, and this is really important. It's not just a bunch of words. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So what is that? You know, it's a sign of surrender, isn't it? That's really what it is. And that's really my message to you today. If you're dealing with toxic poisoning, the healing or the cure begins was surrendering to the Lord. And literally David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, what's that mean? A shepherd would guide sheep, not only look after them, protect them from the enemy, you know, from wolves and bears and all that, but actually guide them to good places to eat, would deal with them if they were sick or unhealthy. In other words, a shepherd was literally the caregiver to the sheep. And that's what David says. He said, it's a confession, right? "The Lord is my shepherd." Is the Lord your shepherd today? And it's easy to say amen and hallelujah in church, but what about when Monday morning comes and you're faced with a fork in the road decision? Have you submitted that decision to your shepherd and said, "Lord, is this the right way to go?" Or are you just doing your own thing? Because if you're doing your own thing and you've got toxic areas in your life, you're just going to get more toxic and you're not going anywhere. But you make him your shepherd. Make every decision important. If it's important to you, it's important to Jesus. Take it to him in prayer. All right. And then he says, as a result of him being my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't be in need. Isn't that wonderful to know that? That when you truly are submitted to your shepherd, he's going to make sure that there's enough for you wherever you are. And that's natural and spiritual. He'll look after you. And then he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That means that you have everything you need. You're so full that even in green pastures, you don't need to eat anymore. You can just relax. I've only been there a few times in my life where I had that sense that I did exactly what I was supposed to do and be able to relax in the Lord. Then he goes on, he leads me beside still waters. I believe that this is talking about the Spirit of God. Because all through the Bible, it talks about the water being the Spirit. With the idea that he provides for our needs naturally and he provides his presence as well. Now the real line though is verse 3. The start of verse 3. What does it say? "Then I restore my soul." Does it say that? No, it says, "He restores my soul." Who's the he? The Lord, right? He's the one. So here's the thing. Our job is to surrender, Him being the great shepherd. And in my case, I surrendered when I said, Lord, I don't know why I don't trust you. And he said, let me show you. Showed me that picture way back where my mom didn't show up on time. And I made this connection, right? I could see the ground, you know, the seepage of the toxicity going down through my subconscious all the way up to affecting me to this day. Or, well, not this day, but that day when I prayed about it. And the point is, that's what God will do as your shepherd. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that he'll take the image of it away. He'll take the pain of it away. It starts with just acknowledging it, surrendering to him. And here's what I want to tell you. Jesus is the great hazmat cleanup guy. Picture him coming in that, you know, that orange suit they come in with the goggles, you know, everything. Jesus is that guy. He will come. And he will help you to go back to that scene or scenes and help you deal with the poison that's still impacting you today. I can't tell you he'll take that image away. It's still there. It's a part of who you are. But here's the thing. That which was meant for evil, the Bible says God will do what? Turn it for good. And so literally that poison gets taken out. And then what it can be is now an experience that you can help other people who maybe are still experiencing the poison and don't know that God wants to help them. Can you say amen to that? God wants to help each and every one of us today. So do me a favor, grab your little cup that you've got, and if you didn't get one, your communion cup, they're on the tables at the back. Feel free to run back. So let's stand up together if you can. There's two things that I want you to think about today. For you to be healed or cured of the toxic poison that's in your life, you have to acknowledge you got a problem. If you don't acknowledge it, nobody can help you. That's like being sick and not going to the doctor. You know, in other words, you've got to acknowledge, hey, I have a need. I'm crying out to the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. No matter what it is, if it concerns you, it concerns Jesus. Do not be ashamed. Don't feel guilty. You know, put all that aside. That's just the enemy trying to hinder you from getting your healing. But rather just come to him and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. These are my feelings I'm feeling right now. I don't know why. And it could be it's because of something that happened back there. And the Lord will show that to you, all right? He'll help you. Now, in my case, I was able to kind of deal with this on my own with Jesus. But can I tell you that Jesus has a whole hazmat crew? You know, there's him, of course, which is the most important thing. But listen, we've been put here as pastors, as elders, as leaders. We have a full-time, she's available anytime, a counselor, a Christian counselor here on staff that's available. Because sometimes just one prayer to heaven may not be enough. You may need to have to walk through this with someone to help you deal with the cleanup. But let me tell you something. Regardless of how God does it, he wants to. He wants to put a song in your mouth. Amen. So let's receive communion together. I could say all the things that I said because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. So if you want to take your little wafer out, it represents the body of Jesus. I'm so grateful he chose to come to save us. And if you're here in this place and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's as simple as just asking him into your heart right now. You see, he'll help deal with all the toxic stuff that's happened in your life, but you got to ask him. So just ask Jesus right now. Lord, right now there's some here that don't know you. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that they make that decision to cry out to you and that you answer them, that they know how real you are and that you want to help them on this journey called life to get to you in heaven eventually, but that they'll never be alone again because you're with them. Thank you, Lord. Let's take this wafer and let's just eat it right now. Just as you're holding your cup, just close your eyes just for a moment. I'm going to ask a question. How many people here believe that through dealing with some toxic poisoning in their life, just slip your hand up in the air, just to the Lord. See those hands raised all through the sanctuary. My hand's up as well, because I acknowledge, I'm sure that there's some other areas I got to deal with still. You can put those hands down now. Father, you saw all those hands raised. And it begins with acknowledgement, just like they did. And now, the next step is surrender. Surrender to what you did on the cross of Calvary. You made a way, Lord God, where there seemeth to be no way. So, Lord, right now, as we drink this grape juice, it's symbolic of your blood. But, Lord, in our hearts, it's to remind us of the price you paid that you could help clean up our lives, that you could deal with that, those toxic areas. So we drink this in celebration of what you have done and what you're going to do in our lives. Let's drink together. Father, I just speak a blessing over your people, that as they go out, Lord God, that they go contemplating what's been said, that Lord God, the seed that you've put into each person's heart would grow and multiply, that they would be blessed by the word that was spoken, and that, Lord God, that they would receive healing for their souls. And we just thank you that you are the great healer. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.